Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Vav. We will begin on Daf Lamed Hey Amed Beis, two lines from the bottom. In our previous shiur, the Braisa discussed that on Erev Shabbos they would blow the shofar six times for people to know that it's Shabbos, they have to stop doing malacha, they have to light the candles, etc. And there was a discussion that the person whose job it was to blow the shofar, what does he do with that shofar after he finishes blowing it? So the Gemara says that there was a makom tsnua, there was a place that he was able to keep the shofar over Shabbos because you're not allowed to carry the shofar on Shabbos. The Gemara used the words, a shofar and a chatzotris are muksa on Shabbos, and since the muksa on Shabbos, you can't, once Shabbos began, this person has to put them down and not be able to carry them. Ask the Gemara of Tanya, but didn't we learn in a different Braisa, where the Braisa says, Shoif metaltel, that the Shoifer, you're allowed to move on Shabbos. The Chatzaitris, which are, the Shoifer is curved, and the Chatzaitris, the Aloch is, you're not allowed to move on Shabbos. And the reason there's a difference between a shofar and a chatzotris is because a shofar is a kli shematalachtel iser, and the halach is a kli shematalachtel iser, you're not allowed to blow a shofar on Shabbos, is mutl tatli, you can move it l'tzorech gufoy, if you need it for a purpose, or l'tzorech mekoymoy, you need the place that it's on. A kli shematalachtel heter, you could even move mechamel etzel. You're just moving it because you don't want it to get ruined. We don't want to get stolen. So Rashi says that the shofar is a kli shemalachta laheter because you could use it to store water to give a child to drink. And therefore, I could understand why you're allowed to move it. But a chatzaitris has no purpose and you're not allowed to move it. But here the Gemara says that, so we have a stira. A shofar, the first braisa says you can't move not a shofar and not chatzotris. The second braisa says a shofar can be moved. And as we explained, because it's kli shemalach del iser, that's mutter, l'tzorech gufa mekaymai. And therefore, the shofar can be used for water for the child, and therefore it's a kli shemalach del heter. But a chatzotris is not a kli shemalach del heter, and therefore it can't be moved. That's Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. Tosfos agrees that the shofar is a kli shemalach del iser. But the question the Tosfos says is, a shofar, which is a kli shemalach del iser, it seems that how could you say you're not allowed to move it? L'tzorech gufa mekaymai. And why not? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha. Can be yochid. A yochid such is not, is the shofar is not muksa, can be tzibur. A tzibur, it is muksa. Ask them, I don't understand your answer. Amalei Abaya. Ubiyachal amaychazi. What could it be used by a yachid that makes it not muksa? Hoi v'roi l'gamei b'mayim. L'tinik. As we just said, it could be used to have water in it for a tinik. So what's the difference if it's a yachid or a tzibur? But tzibur nami, it could be used for that purpose. From here, says the Stipler, we see a very important halacha, that if you have a keli that can be used for a purpose, even though it's not going to be used for that purpose, the Stipler says, the shofar of a tzibur is not going to be used for a tinnik. That shouldn't change the reality of the halacha, however, says the Stipler. Since it can be used for a tinnik, it should be mitzibah nami, since it can be used by the tzibur, chaz l'gamei tinnik ani. You could use it, and therefore it should be mutter. Vesu, and ask the Gemara, there's another braisa. Hada Tanya, the braisa says, k'shem shematafel mas ha-shofar, kach matafel mas ha-chaytris, mani. So in other words, we have three braises. One braise says you can't move not the shofar, not the chatzotris. Another braise says you can move the shofar, but not the chatzotris. And another braise says you can move both. So how do we reconcile all of these brises? Answers the Gemara Loikasha. Harav Yehuda, Harav Shimon, Harav Nechemya. As we've discussed many times, and we'll discuss again, that we have a machlokes, a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda has a much stricter interpretation of Hilchas Muksa than Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shofar, as Rashi explained, is a klisha malach b'laheter. And therefore, you can move it. The chatzotris are considered klisha malach b'laheter. And since they're a klisha malach b'laheter, he takes a much stricter approach. That's how Rashi explains the machloikis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. That a shofar is a klisha malach b'laheter, and a chatzotris are a klisha. Tysus, however, has a different way of explaining. Tysus says that a shofar is a kli shemalachdei l'iser, and therefore it could only be moved l'tzarech gufei mekaymai. Chatzotris can't even be moved l'tzarech gufei mekaymai, since people don't use it for holding water, so it remains muksa machmas gufei. So again, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is going to differentiate between the shofar and the chatzotris. Shofar will be mutter, either because Rashi's pshat at the kli shemalach d'leheter, or Tosfos pshat at the kli shemalach d'leiser. Rav Shimon will hold that both are mutter, and Rav Nechemya will hold that both are asur. Because Rav Nechemya has a very strict interpretation of muksa, and he holds that even a kli shemalach d'leiser cannot be moved, or even a klishim lachdalet, according to Rashi, are muksa. Says the Gemara, my shofar nami, and when Rabbi Nechemya spoke about a shofar, he meant chatzotris. When Rabbi Nechemya spoke about a shofar, he meant that it's chatzotris. Rav Chisda, as Rav Chisda taught us, Dom Rav Chisda, Hani Tlas Mili, there are three things. The name changed once the Beis HaMikdash got destroyed. Chatzotzra, what was originally called Chatzotzis, is now called Shofar. And what was originally called Shofar is now called Chatzotzra. L'may nafkamina, what do I have to know this? So tomorrow, l'shofar shal Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, the halacha is that you have to use a Shofar. You may not use Chatzotzis. So what was originally called shofar is now called chatzotris. So what's now called the chatzotris, that's what you have to use in for Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar. And as I saw that the Mabit explains, the Churban Habayis brought tsar to Klal Yisrael. And since it brought tsar to Klal Yisrael, we wanted to show that the world is not the same world that it once was. Of course, there's a much more fundamental question that the Sefer Megodim Hadashim discusses. He says, how could you take something which is a shofar, which is used for the purpose of the shofar, and now use it to give a child to drink water? So he goes into a discussion, what is the status of something which is originally used for a mitzvah, and now you've finished doing the mitzvah, can you use it for another purpose? So the Prima Godin says that from our Gemara, it seems that once the mitzvah is finished, you could use this for any purpose. But we learned early in our Masechta, not like that. That's why we learned that tzitzis you have to be careful with, even if they're not usable. The halacha is regarding tzchach, lulav, shofar, all these things should not be used for regular purpose. They should be used for a mitzvah. And that's why the Minhag HaOlam is, for example, that the lulav that we used on Sukkos for the Dalaminim are used after Sukkos. We put it away. We leave it in the house as a shmira on the house. And then it's used together to burn the chametz. Says the Gemara, what's the other thing that names changed? We know that one of the Dalaminim is a rova. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed Aleph Man Aleph speaks about the tziftzafa. The halacha is that a rova
is obviously one of the Dalaminim. The Tziftzifah may not be used as one of the Dalaminim. The Gemara gives a number of ways of being able to tell between the Arava and the Tziftzifah. The Arava's leaves are longer, the Arava's leaves are smooth, and the stalk of the Arava is red. The Tziftzifah, the leaves are rounder, they have like sharp edges around the leaf, and the stalk is white. So says Rav Chisda, originally, what was originally called Arava is now called Tziftzifah, and what was originally called Tziftzifah is now called Arava. And Lamay Nafkamina, obviously, Lululav, what is kosher for the Lulav? Psoira, says the Gemara, what was originally called a big table. A big table was originally called Psoira, and a small table was called Psorta, and now it's just the opposite. The Psoira, the big table is called Psorta, and the small table is called Psoira. Says the Gemara L'mayin Afkamina, why do we need to know that? Says the Gemara L'mekachu Menkar, that if somebody buys Bizman Azeh Psorta, you have to deliver to him a large table. Amr Abaya, comment Abaya, Af Anon Neymar. We'll also comment how terminology changed. Havlila Beikasi, Beikasi Havlila. An animal has four stomachs. An animal has four stomachs, a kosher animal. The keres, the basakosis, the hemsis, and the keva. When we learned Masechta Chulin, Daf Mem Beis, we learned that an animal that has a puncture, that has a hole in one of its organs, becomes a trefa. But the halacha of there are different halachas regarding different holes. We learned there that if the hemsis and the basakosis have a hole, the animal becomes a trefa. However, we learned there that there's a difference between the basakosis, which has two layers, and therefore if a needle only penetrated one of the layers, it's not a trefa, versus the hemsis that only has one layer. But says the Gemara, the Vlila, they changed the names. What was originally called the hemsis, the Vlila, now is called the Beikasi, and what was originally called the Beikasi is now called the Vlila. Ask the Gemara, L'mayin Nafkamina, why do we have to know this? Says the Gemara, L'mnachet shenimtzis ba'ivi Beisakosis, regarding the needle that penetrates, that we learned the Mitzad Echad Kshera, if it only penetrated one of the layers, so it's not considered that the hole went through all the way. And since it's not considered that the hole went through all the way, it's not trefa. But once it's shneit stadim, if it goes through all the way, it's trefa. So we have to know which is the stomach with two layers and which is the stomach with one layer. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi says, I'll give another example. Af anan noimer. Bovel is bursif. What was originally called Bovel is now called Bursif, and what was originally called Bursif is called Bovel. L'may nafkamina, why do we have to know this? Says the Gemara, L'gitei Noshim. So Rashi offers two pshatim. One pshat that Rashi offers is that the halacha is, there's a very important halacha in Hilchas Gittin, that you have to write the name of the city in which the get was written. So we need to know, what is the name of the city? What is the proper name of the city to be able to write the get properly? That's one pshat Rashi suggests. The other pshat that Rashi says goes back to the first Mishnah in Masech Gittin, that Beizam and Aleph. The Mishnah says, Hamevi get the Medina Sayam. If somebody delivers a get, the Medina Sayam, Tzorach Shiyomer, whoever brings the get, has to say, Befonei Nechtav, Befonei Nechtam. Because, as the Gemara explains, the halacha is that a get must be written l'shma, and the people who lived in Chutz Laaretz don't know this halacha. That's one explanation the Gemara gives. The other explanation the Gemara gives is that there weren't people that normally traveled from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael. And since there weren't people that normally traveled from Medina Sayam to Eretz Yisrael, if there's going to be a question about the kashrus of the get, we're going to need to have Edim to tell us that the get was written properly. And if there aren't people that travel regularly, we're not going to be able to accomplish that. But, says the Mishnah from Bovel, we don't have to say Befani Nechtem, Befani Nechtem. For two reasons. Either because the people in Bovel were Tamidei Chachamim, and they knew the halacha of Lishma, or because there were constantly yeshiva Talmidim traveling between Bovel and Eretz Yisrael. So now, Rashi says, Rashi, we need to know what is Bovel and what is Bursif. If they, because from Bovel, you don't have to write, you don't have to say Befani Nechtem, Befani Nechtem, and from Bursif, you do have to say Befani Nechtem, Befani Nechtem. But if the names were changed, then the halacha will obviously change. There's a very interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. The Sefer Get Poshet discusses, if you had a city that had a name, and then the name changed, and the halacha, as Rashi teaches us, if you change the name, you have to write the new name. What would be if you wrote the old name? So from our Gemara, it seems that get would be a posel get. However, there's a tshuva from the Beis Yosef, which seems to take a more lenient approach. Reb Chaim Oizer, in the Shailos HaTshuvos Achiezer, Chelek Dalet Siman Nun Tes, talks also about, apparently in Europe, names used of cities used to change. And since names of cities used to change, therefore, the halacha says, the Reb Chaim Oizer, you should use both names. We learned earlier in our shir, we began discussing at the beginning of the shir, the halacha of muksa. So the halacha is like this, something which is muksa machmas gufay, something which is inherently muksa, the halacha is something which is inherently muksa, you can't move under these circumstances. Something which is a kli, shemalachtoi le'isr, so the halacha is, you can only move it, we explained this at the beginning of the shir, le'tzar gufay mekaymai. But I want to speak about one more halacha, and that is the shail of a kli shemalachta leheter. A fork, a spoon, are certainly kli shemalachta leheter. The halacha is that you could move such a keli, but only letzarech hakeli. To move a keli when there's no purpose at all in moving the keli, that isn't permitted on Shabbos. And therefore, the halacha is that there are people that sit at the table and there's forks, there's knives, there's whatever on the table, and he's playing with it. And he's not using it because he needs to eat. He's just moving it. It's a kli shemalachta leheter, but the halacha is that a kli shemalachta leheter should not be moved without any purpose. Hanur loch b'memed likin, hanur loch b'memed likin, hanur loch b'memed likin. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, the new perek, the perek of Perekira. It's important to point out that Perekira is not really about Hilchas Bishul. It's not really about cooking on Shabbos. Perekira is much more about before Shabbos. It's much more about food that's already cooked. It's not about food that I want to cook. And the Mishnah speaks about a number of types of ovens. And besides that, the Mishnah speaks about a number of types of ovens, the Mishnah also will speak about two situations, one called Shia and one called Chazara. So first, let's speak about Midaraisa. Certainly, Shabbos is only Shabbos. Before Shabbos, it's not Shabbos. And therefore, Midaraisa, there should be no reason to put something on an oven before Shabbos, even if it's entirely raw, and it'll get cooked in Shabbos. But as we've learned in this Masechta previously, there's a concern of Shemi Yechata B'Kecholim, that you may stoke the fire, and since you may stoke the fire, Chazal said that different activities, because of that, may become Osur on Shabbos. Maybe come also even on Friday. We spoke in the previous perek about the halacha of Atmana. Atmana means that they used to put the food, wrap the food to keep it warm. And we learned that you're not allowed to be matman, you're not allowed to wrap the food in a dover hamois of hevel, in something that adds heat. As we learned, Shema Yatn Beremetz, Chazal were concerned that I may store it in coals, coals are mois of hevel, and I may stoke those coals on Shabbos. And that's going to be the issue that we're going to be speak about on Shabbos. So, to understand this Mishnah, they had three types of ovens. They had something which was called a kira. A kira looked like a big pot. It had an inside and it had a top. And the halach of a kira is, it's so large that you could put either inside or on top two pots. So the heat of a kira is not that significant. A kupach looks like a kira. It's just smaller. It only has the place for one pot, either inside or on top. And therefore, the heat of a kupach is much more concentrated than the heat of a kira. And then there is something which is known as a tanner. A tanner looks more like an upside down V. The heat in a tanner is much more concentrated, and therefore the halacha of a tanner is different than the halacha of a kira or a kupach. Two more terminology before we go further. All the paiskim say that the ovens that we have, a typical oven that we have, should be considered to be in the category of a kira. Another important point. There are two terminologies that we need to become familiar with. One is shia and one is chazara. Shia means to leave food in the oven from before Shabbos. That means I prepared the oven, I prepared the food before Shabbos. I put it into whatever type of oven. We just discussed a number of different types of ovens. And kira means to put it into that oven before, shia means to put it in before Shabbos. Why would shia be asur? It's not Shabbos yet. Because as we said it earlier in our shir, there is a concern of shem yichat b'gecholim. Then there's another concept, and that is chazara. Chazara is you put food on the fire. You put the food on the fire in a most permissible manner. So that isn't the concern. But even though you put the food in the fire in the most permissible manner, now you took the food off the fire on Shabbos. Are you allowed to put the food back on? And as we're going to learn, that's the concept of chazara. Obviously, chazara is more significant than shia, because shia is before Shabbos. Chazara is on Shabbos. And the reason chazara would be asur is for one of two reasons, explained the Rishonim. Either here too there's a concern, shem yichat b'gecholim. The food, as you took it off the oven, you took it off the stove, got cooled off. And now you're putting it back on. Obviously, you want to eat from that food again. So you're going to stoke those fires to make sure that your food gets nice and warm again. That's one reason. The other reason why it should be asur, it's because mechsi kemevashel. When you put something on the fire on Shabbos, it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos. Now, says the Mishnah, kira shesikur bekash ubegvava. If you used straw, stubble, to heat your kira, the halacha is noisan la tafshel. You could put on that kira a tafshel. Even though you intend to leave it there for Shabbos, the halacha is we're not choshish by kash or gvova shem yichata begecholim. Why are we not choshish by kash or gvova for shem yichata begecholim? Because these are materials that burn themselves out. And since they burn themselves out, then nobody's going to be mechata those materials. And therefore, since no one's going to be mechata such materials, they're not mois of hevel, and therefore, there's no problem that you could put on a kira, which is being heated out of these materials, and you have nothing to worry about. There's no chash of shem yichata. Another pshat, the Rant suggests, why it's mutter to put on where it's heated bekasha gevava. You're obviously showing that you don't care about the heat of this oven. Because if you cared, you wouldn't have used kasha gevava. The Bir Halacha, however, says that let's say you have a lot of kash u'gevava, which may give heat. There, the halacha is that it would be asur. Furthermore, it would only be mutter by kash u'gevava, says the Bir Halacha, if you first had the kash u'gevava and then you put on the food. But if you put on the food and then you put on the kash u'gevava, then the halacha is that we have to be more machmer. Rashi and Tosfos have here a very fundamental machlokes. Rashi seems to learn that the reason you have to be careful with shia is for the same reason that we learned in the previous parak. I mentioned it earlier. The concern is, just like you're not allowed to do atmana, you're not allowed to do shia because shem yichata begecholim. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says that there are differences between shia and atmana. Atmana, the food is being put into the object which will keep it warm, versus shia, the food is being put on top of it. And therefore, says Tosfos, shia and atmana are not to be looked at the same way. However, says the Mishnah, Begefesa Eitzim, but if what you used to heat the oven is gefes, gefes is the pulp that's left over from olives and sesame, which can be used for fuel or wood, there aloch is lo yitain, you can't put a cooked food on top of it, ach yigrov, unless you shovel away the coal, or ach yitain is afor, you put ash over them. By shoveling away the coal, so first of all, there's machlokes rishonim. Which type of tafsho are we talking about? So Taisa says that it doesn't make a difference. You're not allowed to put tafsho on top of it because we're worried shem yichata begecholim. Other rishonim disagree, and they say only a food that I have to be worried that person's concerned they won't get ready. That's what we need to be concerned. By other foods, I don't have to. So we have here two ways of dealing with this. Grufa or Ketuma. And we're learning the Mishnah the way Rashi's learning the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is speaking about Shia. You're not allowed to put the food on the Kira from Erev Shabbos and leave it there on Shabbos because of the Isser Shia, because we're worried Shem Yechata B'Gecholah, that you're going to stoke the fire. Unless you cover it, or move it away. And the Rishonim discuss why these options work. Why does Ketima work? Because by Ketima, by covering the fire, you're showing that you're not interested in the fire giving off heat anymore. The Rambam learns, because by doing Ketima, you're showing that you're being Mesiach Das from this fire. What's going to be the Nafkamina? We'll speak about it more in a moment. To what degree are Ketima, Grufa and Ketuma required? Do you have to have that the ash is completely, that the fuel of this fire is completely being dismantled? Or is it enough that you're showing a hecker? You're showing that you're not interested in this fire. And therefore, since you're showing that you're not interested in this fire, therefore it's mutter. So, to discuss this halacha a little further, the Mishnah says that Shia doesn't apply if the coals are Goruf V'Kotim. Or it doesn't apply, according to most Rishonim, if the food was already cooked before Shabbos. Because once the food is cooked, the person is not going to stoke the coals because the food is anyway cooked. We also learned on Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, that if the food is raw, if you have a pot of raw meat, you could put it on the fire right before Shabbos. Why? Since nobody expects that meat to be ready before the next morning, so there's no point in being mechatab gecholim. For tonight, it won't be ready anyway. And for tomorrow, it'll be ready anyway. What is the definition of cooked food? So Hananya holds that as long as the food is cooked, kamacha ben drusoy, machloikus Rashi in the Rambam. Rashi says kamacha ben drusoy is when the food is a third cooked. The Rambam holds it has to be half cooked. We're not worried at that point that somebody's going to stoke the fire, because the food is anyway already edible. Because, as we explained earlier, ben drusoy was a ganef who always ate food that wasn't completely cooked. And since he always ate food that wasn't completely cooked, that makes the food always considered, that makes the food at that point already considered edible. I do need to say that I saw from that the Sefer Pnei Shabbos quotes the Klaus Magareba. He says that when we speak about Ben Rasoi, whatever opinion we're going to follow, the opinion of Rashi or the opinion of Rambam, a third cook, a half cook, he says, we shouldn't look at it, says the Klaus Magareba, as a measure of time. That if you have a food that needs an hour of cooking, so we'll say that after 20 minutes, it's a third cooked. After 30 minutes, it's half cooked. That isn't true, says the Klaus Magareba. Half cooked and third cooked depends on the reality. Is it a half cooked or whole cooked? So as we're going to learn in the Gemara, I'm giving this Hagdoma now, Hananya says that the subject of our Mishnah is regarding Shia. The Chazara, I mean. Chazara is what's the question of its Mutter Osir. Shia is always Mutter. And the Ramah says that we could follow that Minig and we could leave food on a fire from before Shabbos as long as it's cooked k'machab and drusoy before Shabbos. The Rabbanim disagree, and they hold that unless the food is fully cooked, and not only is it fully cooked, it has to be mitztamek v'raloy. The food will deteriorate from more cooking. You always have to have grufa v'ktuma. The Rambam and the Rif paskin like the Rabbanim. The Mishnah Brura says that even though the Ramah, as we just said, is lenient, l'chatchila, one should take upon himself the opinion of the Rabbanon and should not leave food on the fire for before Shabbos unless it was grufa k'tuma. So now Ramosha discusses whether the concern which we're discussing in our Gemara, in our Mishnah Gemara of Shem Yechata, applies to our stoves. There are no coals to stoke, so therefore there shouldn't be a halacha of Shem Yechata. So Ramosha maybe says, therefore, maybe our ovens should be considered like Kashu Gvova. And since it's considered like Kashu Gvova, our Mishnah says, we're makel by Kashu Gvova. However, Ramosha says that you can't compare our oven to Kashu Gvova. Since our ovens have a knob, which you could raise the gas. And not only did you raise the gas, he says it's very easy to turn the knob of an oven. It's much easier to turn the knob of an oven than to do Shem Yechata B'Kecholim. And therefore he paskins that one shouldn't leave food on the stove, like the Mishnah Brura says, that we're machma for the opinion of the Rabbanon, unless he covers the fire. And Ramosh makes a very important point. Not only must the fire be covered, but the knobs of the oven should also be covered with a blech. unless the food is fully cooked and it's mitstamak v'ralai. What happens if the fire is on the maximum strength? So maybe there's no reason of shem yichata b'gecholim. Rav Moshe, however, says that there's a problem of shem yichata b'gecholim even when it's on full. He says, we don't find anywhere that Chazal started making differentiation when we say shem yichata b'gecholim and when we don't say shem yichata b'gecholim. From here we see that shem yichata b'gecholim applies by all fires. But where is there a heter? The heter will be by an electric hot plate or urn which has only one temperature setting. There you don't need a blech, because whatever setting it has is the setting that you put it on. And since it has that setting, there's no shem yichata v'gecholim. Moreover, I saw that the Paiskim suggests, or Shlomo Zalman says, that a hot plate was not made to cook on. A hot plate was just meant to keep warm. And since it's only meant to keep warm, therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's not considered like the kira of our Mishnah, and therefore you can leave something on a hot plate without covering anything on the hot plate. What would be the nafkamina between Rav Moshe and, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman? If you had a hot plate that people cooked on, it may be a problem. Also, what would be if you have a hot plate that has a number of settings? According to Rav Moshe, then it would be usur. The Rav Moshe is only makel by the hot plate because it doesn't have any settings. But if it has another settings, and it has a number of settings, then maybe you have to be worried shem yichat b'gecholim, like Rav Moshe said. But if according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's not meant to be cooked on, so even if it doesn't have a number of settings, it should still be mutar. Says the Gemara by Shammai Oimrim, and we'll discuss this more in the Gemara soon. Whatever we're talking about chamin, we're talking about hot water, avaloi tafshal. Vesel Oimrim, whatever we're discussing is both chamin v'tafshal. By Shammai Oimrim, Neutlin, what we're talking about is taking food off the kira, avaloi machzirin. Beis Shammai says you're never allowed to put food onto a fire on Shabbos, even if it's grufa k'tuma. And as we said at the beginning of Shir, we're concerned since you took it off shem yichata b'gecholim, or we're concerned the mechzik mevashol v'selam af machzirin. So as we said earlier in our Shir, we have this fundamental machloikis of Chananya. We have this fundamental machloikis of Chananya and the Rabbonon. What is our Mishnah speaking about? Is our Mishnah speaking about Chazara, or is our Mishnah speaking about Shia? Ibailuhu. And therefore ask the Gemara, how do we understand our Mishnah? Hai lo yitain. When the Mishnah says you're not allowed to put something on the oven, doesn't mean lo yachzer. It means you're not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. Avalashos, to put it on before Shabbos. Av mashin, you could put anything you want on an oven before Shabbos. Av apish enigor for eri cotton, it doesn't make a difference if it's grufo k'tum or not, since it's before Shabbos. So anything before Shabbos is mutter. Umani, and therefore who would be the tan of our Mishnah? The tan of our Mishnah would be Chananya, the tanya Chananya Omer. Kol shkumacha ben rusoi, which we interpreted earlier in our shir, mutar l'shoyes al gabei kira. Once the food is up to that state, I'm allowed to put it on the kira. Why? So as the Yireim explains, once a food is cooked up to the point of machal ben rusoi, nobody is going to be mechata b'gecholim. Why will nobody be mechata b'gecholim? Because the food is already edible. Since the food is already edible, so why would I start looking and mishing and doing? There's no reason to be concerned. The Rosh has a different explanation. The Rosh says a beautiful explanation. He says, why would somebody be mechata b'gecholim? He says, because he's interested in getting the food cooked. If the food is already up to the point, says the Rosh, where it's kamachal ben drusoi, So by the time I'm going to want to eat that food, the food will anyway be edible. And why should I therefore start touching the food and touching the fire? By the time I want to eat it, it'll be edible anyway. And therefore he says, Mashin, you'll be allowed to keep it on that fire. Apish ene garfa katam. Amani chananya yidatanya chananya oimer. Kol shukumacha ben rasoi. Muta l'shoi salgab akira. Apish ene karv ben katam. Adoma, maybe the Mishnah is talking about lahashis tanan. Ven vi garfa katam in. Only if the food is at the point of garfa, only if the oven is garfa katam. That's when I could leave food on the oven. Because by making grufa ketumah, the explanation that we gave from the Rishonim, I'm not worried shemichata b'kecholim. But if it's not garfa katan, then I may not leave food on that oven from Friday. Because kein lahachsam. Says the Gemara Toshma. Let's understand our Mishnah. Midik tani trei babi mesnisin. The Mishnah spoke about two different machloikasin. Mishnah said b'shama imrchamina v'loy tafshol, that we're speaking about is only hot water. Because once hot water is cooked, there's no cooking anymore. Avloy tafshol. Vesiloimim chame v'tafshol. They were speaking about hot water and food. And then we learned another machlokes. Veshama imrim noitlin avloy machzirin. Vesiloimim af machzirin. So Amrit, leshes tanan, if we're going to learn that our Mishnah is talking about Shia, so our Mishnah is very understandable. Hochtani. If the oven was heated with straw, mashal atefshel, then we can leave food on it before Shabbos because this fire is going to burn itself out anyway. Begefes aitzim, if you had the gefes or wood, lo yasha, achi yigreif, unless you did grufa, shoveling away the coals. Machlokes rishonim, if you have to shovel away all the coals or just start shoveling the coals. What's the machlokes based on? Is it because I want to diminish the heat, and I only diminish the heat if I move away all the coals? Or is it because I want to show that I'm not interested in stoking the fire? And therefore, as soon as I moved away some of the coals, it's good enough. Or I actually eat an afer, or I cover it. Again, the same machlokes. Do I have to cover all the coals or some of the coals? Or my mashin, and again, we're talking about before Shabbos, what can I leave there? Only hot water, which there's no concern I'm going to stoke. But tafshel, I do have to be concerned. Continues the Mishnah, the Gemara explaining this, understanding the Mishnah. Just like we had the machloikis, what may be done before Shabbos, we're also going to have a machloikis, blahachser. What am I allowed to put back on the oven? You may never put anything back on the oven on Shabbos. That's how to understand the Mishnah according to the opinion of the Rabbanon. Eli, if we're going to learn like Chananya Hoktani, she is always mutter. But now we're talking about Chazara, putting something back on. So if it was heated b'kasher b'gvava machzir la tafshol, then you could put even the food back because this isn't a real source of heat. B'gefes eitzim lo yachzer, you may not put back. Ad sheyigroif ad sheyitn efer umay machzirin, and what may you do chazara? B'shamayim rim cham only hot water v'loy tafshol, or b'yisiloim rim cham v'tafshol. Furthermore, how says the Mishnah, you may never do chazara. But ask the Gemara, we already discussed chazara. Hasulamali. Why would the Mishnah speak about the same achloikas twice? So if the Mishnah is following the opinion of Chananya, I don't understand why the Mishnah says the same achloikas two times. Answers the Gemara, la'olam lahachsatanan. I'm going to be able to say that the Mishnah is only speaking about chazara. And as the Rishonim explain, even though it means forcing a pshat into the Mishnah, which the other pshat I didn't have to force, the halacha they knew follows the opinion of Chananya. We quoted earlier in the shiur that Rama says that the Me'ikar Adin, the halacha is like Chananya. And therefore, they wanted to be able to make that the Mishnah should follow the opinion of Chananya. If it was heated with straw, machzirin la tafshol. Begefes eitzim, lo yachzer, Achi Yigrof, if you do Grufo, Achi Yiten, Efer, Ktuma. Avalishos, and now we're adding words into the Mishnah. Mashin Afpishen Agarfakatim. She is always mutter. Or Mahi Mashin. What are you allowed to do Shia with? Beshamaimrim Chamel Avaloi Tafsha, only hot water, not cooked food. Beshamaimrim, you're allowed to do Shia Cham Vitafsha. And furthermore, says the Mishnah, V'hachazara Damri. Damiloch, Chazor that we spoke about earlier, La Devei Hakol, El Machloikis Beisham Beisilu, Chazor is the subject of a Machloikis Beisham Beisilu, She Beisham Oimrim Noitlan V'loi Machsirim, Chazor is always Osir, Beisilu Oimrim Af Machsirim, that under certain circumstances, even Chazora would be Mutter. So we were able to explain, the Gemara was able to explain that the Mishnah should be able to follow even the opinion of Chananya. So now ask Rabbi Akiva Eiger, why, even if you did Grufa Ktuma, are we not concerned for a concern that we discussed in our previous parak? In our previous parak, we spoke about Shema Yegis. You may mish the food in the pot, and that's considered Bishul. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, according to the Rashba, once a food comes to the point of Machal Ben Rusoi, there is no issue of Megis. Another explanation that the Achroinim give, that once you did Hagosa, once with the food, there's also no issue of Hagosa. So what you'll have to do, according to those Paiskim, is be careful to always do one Hagosa, one mishing of the food before Shabbos, and therefore there wouldn't be an Isra Hagosa on Shabbos, and therefore there is no reason to have a concern of Shema Yegis.